cliffcentral.com.
So if you're some kind of a fanatic or an obsessive collector, you're somebody who's got a collection of really cool and interesting things, please let us know about it, because we're busy discovering all kinds of amazing people and amazing collections. And it's all brought to you by South Africa's Gold Coin Exchange, the SA Gold Coin Exchange. You've probably been to a coin shop where you can get the most amazing and very collectible gold, silver. They have all kinds of amazing ranges and collections that you can partake in. Many people have coin collections. That's called numismatics. And we don't just take an interest in those. Last week, we spoke to a guy called Quibus, who collects matchboxes. The week before, we spoke to Jasmine Mulholland, who collects all kinds of really cool Christmas decorations and weird spoons, crockery. Yeah. Amazing stuff. We've spoken to people who collect whiskey. We've spoken to people who collect action figures. We've spoken to people who collect coins. And today we're going to speak to another really cool person. Her name is Jewie Muddery. She's on the line right now. She's talking to us live from her house where she's got her own collection. How are you? It's nice to see you.
Hi, Garrett. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you?
It's such a pleasure to meet you and to find out about your collection. So tell us about you first before we get into your collections. Where do you live? Where are you from? Tell us about your background.
So I'm originally from Durban, and I'm working in Johannesburg as a market research analyst.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And Jewie, do you live on your own, or do you have people living with you? You got family and friends or boyfriend or
wife? So... No, so I'm actually living by myself, but I do have a beautiful cat who keeps me company, so that's more than enough for now.
The reason I
Leanne is interested.
Yeah,
now.
Leanne suddenly... Listen, the reason I didn't ask to be nosy, I promise. I was asking because those of us who collect things, and you and I are in that category, right? We often need the room that would be for a roommate or for a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife or the kids or whatever. We need those rooms for our collections because we're a little bit crazy.
Well, I'm not going to say that I'm crazy.
No?
I'm passionate. There's a difference.
Yes. No, that's fine.
But for me, when it comes to collecting the items that I have, it's about the quality, not the quantity.
Sure.
So I guess I'm not that bad. I wouldn't need a whole room dedicated to it. I can manage myself.
All right. So people are going to know now that you're a collector, but they're still wondering, what do you collect? So this is interesting. You had an interest in vintage clothing while you were actually doing your undergrad in fashion, which is pretty amazing. And you went into the history and the heritage of all the design houses, the trends and the fads of each decade and century. And I mean, this is such a category of stuff. It must be very, very difficult if you go into it without knowing anything to even make head or tail of it. So you're going to give us a crash course this morning of how you got involved in this aspect of fashion and what kinds of stuff you collect.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I did complete a BA in fashion. And, you know, through learning about the history of fashion, I just got really, really intrigued with the different elements and the different items from each period. And as much as I love the present, I also love transporting myself back into those different periods. Oh, yeah. So for me, having a vintage item, you know, from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s even, it kind of transports me back into that specific period, which I love. You know, it kind of gives you a place to kind of disappear when you're wearing whatever you have.
Oh wow!
So I actually, yeah, it's nice. I mean, I think that's where the creativity comes into play. You know, I get to kind of imagine myself, you know, in the 80s or the 70s, and yeah, it's fun.
I want to interrupt you quickly and just bring Leanne in on this, because Leanne, did you ever think when you were in the 80s that one day people would look at the clothes you were wearing then and talk about them as being vintage?
Yeah, I must say, in my mind,
vintage clothing is sort of 30s and 40s. And I've just realized now how people who were born in the 30s and 40s must have felt when I said, oh, I love vintage clothing, because you're calling it vintage clothing, but I wore it at the appropriate time.
Okay, so describe this.
That's fantastic. And that's why I love meeting people, you know. That's the blazer that I'm wearing.
That's beautiful. Just show us that picture again. So that's cool. So tell us where that comes from.
So I actually found that in a market in Johannesburg. I think it was Art on Main a few years back. Mm-hmm. And that is a blazer from the 80s. You can see the power suit was the thing back in the 80s. So you can see with the exaggerated shoulder, shoulder pads, etc.
That person
and
must
the
have been,
amazing colors.
That person must have been very, very wild in the 80s, because you talk about power dressing, and that was a thing. Obviously, the shoulder pads were a big thing, right? They used to roll up the sleeves as well. Very Miami Vice. But that whoever wore that was a pretty wild human being, because those colors are neon.
Yeah.
It is. It is. I actually feel like I'm in an episode of, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with all those bright colors. I don't know, who's watched it, but I really do.
All right. So take us through some more of these, because this is always cool. We get into your collection. What's this dress here?
So this is actually a dress from the 70s. It's not a typical dress from the 70s, but this was actually the first vintage item that I bought. And it was also at a market in Johannesburg. And it was so beautiful and delicate. I mean, you can see, these beautiful floral pastel patterns at the bottom. It just appealed to me. And then, I purchased it. I love it.
I want to know what it must be like to go to a market with you. It must be incredible.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you're more than welcome to. I guess mom can only attest to that. But I stop and I will just, you'll have a conversation with me and I'll stop mid-conversation because I'll see something and I'll just be zoned out.
No, I'm asking because I've been to markets with people before, and some of them are really into it and some people just breeze through. Now, I'm one of those breeze through people. I might stop, if they're items of collectible interest for me. But in a situation like that, I mean, you must be one of those people who takes your time. You don't go through the market in a hurry. You're looking for very particular things, right?
Yes, yes. I don't usually go to the market with a specific intent, but if something catches my eye, then I really take interest in it.
All right, so talk...
Especially if it has a story behind it, because that's what really interests me.
Talk us through like what else you collect here, because you have to be able to draw the line somewhere, right? If you just collect clothes in general, that's a huge category of things. But I saw some jewelry, Sia put a picture up just now of like some earrings. So do you collect those as well? And how far does it go? Do you collect sort of shoes or does it stop somewhere? I mean, where do you draw the line?
I actually don't draw the line. Like I said, whatever appeals to me is what I kind of have. But the thing is, remember, I did say I believe in quality, not quantity. So that's why I have a handful of really beautiful antique merchandise. And the pictures that Sia did show, the one was a beautiful necklace that was also from the 80s. And that I actually picked up in an antique store in Amsterdam.
Wow. So you take your collections international as well. Listen, I love this. Do you have a special place where you store all of it? Do you have one room in your house that's just storage for this stuff? Do you keep extra hanging space for all the clothing?
No, it's just intermingled with all my other jewelry and my other clothes. I mean, it's vintage. It's from a different era. But I treat it as if it's fashion
and
now.
And you wear the stuff. So
it's with everything else.
You don't treat it specially and not use it. You actually wear the stuff. You put it on. You go out with vintage clothing on. You love it. It's part of your life.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's amazing.
Well, do you have like this slight... It's not morbid per se, but like when someone like a Joan Rivers lovers passed away and they put all of their fashion and clothes out on auction. Do you have a dream of going into someone's closet like that, who's you know, legendary, and you purchase some of their pieces?
Oh, that would be a dream. Unfortunately, it is out of my price reach at this point in time, but one day. But speaking of a cupboard that I wish I could actually go into is somebody who lived through the 20s. That's my absolute favorite decade. And I've been looking for peace from the 20s, but it's so difficult because a lot of it's actually deteriorated. But that, oh, that would be absolutely amazing. Just something from the 20s.
Oh.
Well, Julie, listen, good luck with your collection. It's great to have you on this morning, and we love hearing about all the different things that people collect. You can also find out more by going to listen to other episodes of Collectomania, and we hope we'll hear from you soon. Keep collecting those amazing vintage clothing items that you've gotten, and I hope we'll see you around town wearing outrageous jackets like the one you've got on today. Love it.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to meet you. Wow, she's pretty cool. I love that stuff. Love it. Everybody has their thing. And if you don't collect anything, you're just, it's just a question of time until you start. That's all.
Yeah.
Or wearing the things as well, not just, you know, keeping them in boxes. And
exactly.
But she actually gets to enjoy it.
Yeah. It reminds me, those pieces of jewelry, even though they may not be diamonds, reminded me that I was reading up on the most expensive diamonds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend.
Look at you. You got plans to steal them from somebody?
Are we involved in a heist now?
No, definitely not. But for instance, I mean, it was a long list, but for instance, at number 10, the diamond is worth $40 million.
No, that's... please, who can't afford that?
One diamond. So it weighs 36.65 carats. It was found in the Galsonda mines in India. It's a graded, fancy, intense pink and takes an orangey hue when exposed to ultraviolet light. I mean, that's a fancy-ass diamond.
Amazing. Wow. Wow.
And if I go up to... Sure. It's a very long list and it's very descriptive. Let's look at, say, number 4, which is the De Beers Centenary Diamond. That's $100 million.
Good Lord.
273.85 carats. The third largest diamond to have been found in the Premier Mine in South Africa. Only the Cullinan first and second diamonds are bigger.
And
that was mined only in 1988.
Wow, so not that long ago. Okay. And who owns it now, do they not say? Because we know that
the purchase price and diamond owner are unknown, this gemstone was insured by De Beers for over $100 million.
Yeah, well, the Queen's got the biggest two. We know that she's got them in the scepter and the crown, Cullinan one and Cullinan two. All right, this is one of the best comments we've had during Collectomania, and this is from Gen X. Mm-hmm. Gen X says, "I try to collect money, but I'm building my collection and it's very expensive."
Yeah.
Amen, Gen X. Amen.
I'd love to talk to someone who collects like precious stones. That would be really interesting, and we can have a look at them. I mean,
like the Queen.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's not going to come onto Collectomania, unfortunately, because she. I mean, there is this thing called the Royal Collection, which is probably one of the best collections of all kinds of shit in the world. But I don't know if we're going to get
British Crown Jewels.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get her on the show.
That would be number one, the Mountain of Light Diamond. Mm. And that's in the British Crown Jewels. And the second one, rightly mentioned, is the Cullinan Diamond, which is over $400 million in value. But the number one is priceless. It doesn't actually have a value.
That's what you call the Mountain of Light. They call it the Koh-i-Noor Diamond, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm. Unbelievable.
I wouldn't even want to touch that. I wouldn't even want to be close to it.
You can't break it.
Yeah, see, it is a diamond.
I don't know.
It's fairly strong.
And you probably can't lose it because it's really big.
You know, I've always wondered about the people who cut these diamonds, right? I mean, imagine you are the person who's entrusted now with that raw Cullinan diamond back in 1902 or whatever it was. And they put this in front of you and they say, right, we want you to cut as many diamonds as you can out of this big rock. and we're going to fashion them into the world's biggest collection of diamonds. And if you screw it up, I mean, if you cut the wrong place or you shatter it, it hits like some kind of fault in the stone, and it breaks the stone into small bits that are no longer as good. Imagine
everyone's watching, and you've got this machine, and you turn it on, and it goes,
Jesus.
And you go, zing, ooh, shit.
I used to have a gem collection when I was a kid. Like, you know, when you're kids, you go to these like gem shops. We used to, it was like, I found it was the most fascinating thing when I was a child. I'm talking about, you know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around that age. And my brother and I used to collect everything from like tiger's eye to quartz to garnets and amethysts and all that kind of thing.
Right to the purple ones.
Yeah, amethyst.
Amethyst.
No. And I saw them on Instagram over the weekend. They dug out some huge big amethyst. It's like the size of what do I have? It's about the size of a microwave. This huge amethyst and beautiful deep purple color. Unreal. And they had to wash the mud off of it first and, you know, then clean it up. And you just think, wow, that could be the most attractive thing. Imagine cutting that into a stone that's set in something, obviously not the size of a microwave. What, you know, person's going to be able to wear that? You need a
seer. Seer will.
Yeah, seer.
Yes, I would.
Seer find a way. He'll find a way to make that work on a ring. Trust me.
I would have a separate wagon that it's on, just a massive chain that goes over my neck, but I'd have to pin it on a wagon.
Like Flavor Flay's clocks.
Yes, and the wagon itself would have to be bejeweled in some stone.
See, it would push.
That's how you really prove you love me.
He would push a wagon in front of himself with a heavy stone on it just to prove he had lots and lots of money.
I would put up a fight wherever I go. Oh, you know, some people, you know, rights of admission is reserved and they say no dogs or no this. I'd put up the fight. Board a plane with that wagon.
Yeah, please, if you collect anything like gemstones, let us know about it. That would be fascinating to hear. I mean, you know, there are some people who collect crystals because they believe they've got healing properties, not because they like the pretty crystals. They actually keep them around because they're crystal healers, or they believe that crystals have certain special properties. Then, you know, that's also, that counts on Collectomania. We want to hear from you. Just send us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we will include you in the next episode of Collectomania. Also, if there's something you're really interested in, even if you haven't started a collection, let us know. Lenise says, my mom collected all sorts of tins and still have some of them in her kitchen. She has an old Oros tin. An Oros tin. Sure.
Wow.
I wonder.
I've actually got some old tins in my kitchen.
Yeah,
Leanne, we aren't talking about jungle oats that you haven't gotten to yet.
No, I've got like old vintage jungle oats tins and flour and sugar tins and things like that.
Alex says, would be cool if we could get Chris Jack on the show. He has one of the craziest sneaker collections in South Africa. That's pretty awesome. All right. So sorry, I interrupted your tin discussion. Do you keep anything in them, or are they just there for show?
I think the sugar one has pegs in it. The they've all got things in them that don't belong because they're not very good holders of or like airtight holders or containers for flour and sugar.
Yeah.
And I suppose in those days, in the days that they were used, you would have consumed flour and sugar in much larger quantities than we do now. Because, you know, you need to make everything from scratch in those days.
Right. CliffCentral.com.